B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, and Tracy tells me, Rich, that there is a surprise.
Well, it's not a surprise. It's just, you know, since it's been weird, like over the last like several months, all of us, you know, spread apart and not spending time in the same studio. It's definitely been odd. And I know, Fred, you're going to be going back sometime next week. You're still doing some quarantining, and John has been back there for a little bit, and who knows when the hell I'm going to be back. But when I come back, unfortunately, there might be something that has changed that you guys might not enjoy and that I might actually have to get fixed before I see you. And the reason is because this is something I've been dealing with. It's been creeping up on me for about the last, I guess, 2.5 months. I've only mentioned it on the air once, and I think, Fred, that you might have been gone when I did this. And it was something that I thought was just going to go away on its own, and it hasn't. As a matter of fact, it's only gotten worse. This used to only start happening right before I went to bed, and it started getting bigger and louder and louder, and now it's starting to creep into all day parts. My body is making sounds that I can't explain, and I've been trying to figure out, I've been doing a lot of Googling, and I've been trying to see how this is happening, what I've been doing, whether it's something I'm eating, whether it's something I'm some sort of physical activity that I'm doing, and it's gotten to the point where people in the other room have heard it. And now, this is not, I'm not passing gas or anything like that. It's nothing gross like that. But my body is making sounds, and I don't know how to stop it. So yesterday, my wife yelled at me from the other room. She goes, "Is that you again?" And I'm like, "Yes." And I'm like, "It's gotten so loud that you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to press record on my phone." Oh, now, I want you to realize, Fred, that once again, this is not gas. Then my phone is about 2 feet away from where I sit. So it's not like I'm holding it right up to my body or anything like this. This is from a distance, okay? Here's what my body sounds like on a regular basis.
Now, is that bone?
Nope. That's just my stomach. And now I have sympathy for people like, who was the lady who was on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace. Like, part of me thinks that all these years where I was ripping on Nancy Grace for farting, I don't think that that's a fart. I think Nancy Grace actually just had some weird stomach stuff going on like me. Like, I think that that's I think that is a Nancy Grace, like, that's a stomach deal. I believe.
So is there raised any concern for you?
Yes. I've been Googling trying to figure out whether it's something I'm eating. And dude, that's 2 feet away from where my phone is.
What?
Someone says it sounds like a balloon losing its air. No, it sounds like my body has become a haunted house.
Now, like it's okay. All right. So this happens all day?
Okay. It's not quite all day yet, but it's crept up from being just before right when I go to bed. Like it's gotten to the point where it's like embarrassing. Like I'll be sitting in bed and I'll have my laptop and Mary will be sitting next to me and my stomach will just start screaming. It will start yelling at her like – and I can't stop it. Like, I tried pushing on my stomach. That doesn't do anything. I tried drinking a bunch of water. That doesn't do anything. And now it's gone from happening right before I go to bed to being something that happens, like, starting maybe around 4 in the afternoon, and it's moving close, like, slowly but surely throughout the whole day, and I'm worried that at some point it's going to be on during the broadcast, and it's not going to be, and it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable there. Somebody said I would definitely get wrongly convicted in fart court. There's no question. That sounds, because it's, I mean, dude, that sounds exactly, listen to this. I mean, that sounds like a fart. But it's not. And now I have a whole new view on who we are deeming worthy of a fart and who is not in fart court. Because now there's personal experience of being on the other side of it and people thinking that maybe I'm the one farting. Oh, no, no,
so
no, no.
This happens every day?
Yep. Every day, starting now around like 4 or 5 o'clock on the afternoon, in the afternoon. And when I say it's loud, it's loud. And I don't know how to stop it. I've read all this stuff about like how you drink. Does anybody else have this going on? Anybody else live with this? 617 or lived through it? Are you a survivor? 617-779-0985.
What does it say on Google?
Okay. So Google, there's questions about, you know, is some of the things that you're eating. And it's like, you know, of course, there's the jokey stuff. Like, is it beans and all that? I'm not eating anything crazy and beany. You know, if anything, maybe I just need more trash food in my diet because I've been eating like home cooked meals, which may be an issue. But also, like they say, drink more water. And that kind of helps the whole system kind of work itself out. And it's nothing else has changed other than the sound it makes. Like, I'm not in pain. Nothing's weird. It's just like, dude, it's loud. Listen to how loud that is. And it doesn't stop. It goes on until I fall asleep. So from like 4 in the evening till when I fall asleep, I'm walking around the house. And I'm kind of glad I'm not able to see people because they're going to think I'm just cranking farts every time they see me.
Do you think it has something to do with stress?
Oh, that could be. That's a good
call.
Man,
I don't know. Maybe. Somebody said, dude, you have COVID, bro. I mean, I would have had it for 3 months, well, 2.5 months. Somebody said, not to make light of this, but it sounds like Seinfeld episode when Jerry dated that woman with the talking stomach,
yes.
Which I've never
Hello!
Seen. Definitely, see, to me, it just sounds like, welcome to the haunted house.
To me, that sounds like gas, man.
I'm glad I recorded it because it's not gas. It's not gas. It's just my stomach. But it sounds like I'm farting. Does anybody else have this awful problem?
It sounds like Peter Gammons.
Oh, thank God. We have a survivor on line one. I don't know if he's a survivor. He might just be a sufferer. Dan, please, walk me through this.
Okay, so I had this exact same thing happen to me 2 years ago. And it started off when I would eat. A couple hours later, you would hear his hair. And I could feel it go through my system from my right to my left. What ended up happening was I went to the ER. They gave me fluid, sent me home like 4 times. They found it. I had a bowel obstruction. They cut off 2/3 of my colon. Oh. I have cancer. Oh. I have a scar that goes from the top all the way down. Like, I have a huge scar down. Pretty much, I had a C-section. Dude, go to the hospital, get that checked. You gotta make sure. I waited to the point where I didn't eat. I looked like Al Sharpton, the way his body looks all sunken in, because my body was eating itself. I ate like once a day. I would eat, and you would just hear, and you could like physically like point where the sound's coming from as it goes from the right to the left.
Dude, it's in stereo. It can start from the right and travel over to the left, and I don't know what it is. But so you're saying that it was just like a horrible colon problem.
So he's saying you have
bowel obstruction.
You're going to have to get half your colon taken out.
Maybe that's the case. Somebody said my wife had the same problem and she became lactose intolerant. You might need to give up dairy. All right, so we've got more calls.
What did you have before, Rich? You had some kind of you had something.
Oh,
before.
No. I know what that was from. So like every day, I used to eat two of these
Clif bars. You know Clif bars, those protein bars? Like every morning I would have them, and my favorite flavor was peanut butter. But what it was peanut butter just jammed with all of these smashed up peanuts. If you've ever seen it, it looks like one of those old Star Crunches, but it's actual peanuts. So I was eating an equivalent of like 2 jars of peanuts a week, it seemed like. And my body just said, nope. And I ended up having to go in because, what's the word for it? When you, it's the thing that Recky had.
Bacchus had.
What's, yeah, that's right. Bacchus had. Oh, geez. Diverticulitis. And they're like, well, what was your diet? And I told them, they're like, what are you doing? So I was having like basically just shards of peanuts every single week, and it was ripping me apart. So that was something that's explainable. This is weird. All right. So I need to figure out what the hell's going on, because that is a something that I'm not extremely
Well, it sounds like you're gonna have to have body parts removed.
I guess so. We got Randy on line two. He's got a theory on what's happening. Randy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So what's going on with me and my situation is I have a form of IBS, and it's the opposite of what everybody, when they hear IBS, kind of chuckles at, where you move bowel movements too quickly. And what I have is I move it too slowly, and I'll go a day or two without actually like having a bowel movement. And what happens is everything gets built up inside of you, and it basically creates like these stomach cramps. And they're really not like painful cramps or anything, but they make violent noises like you're having. So you may have that second version of IBS that's very not as common as everybody else has.
Oh, this
sucks.
Are you
not going to the bathroom, Rich?
Oh, this, yeah, regularly. Everything else is normal. It's just my stomach makes these weird-ass sounds that I just can't figure. I mean, it's like welcome to Haunted Manor, ladies and gentlemen.
It sounds like something's terribly wrong with you if you go by what the callers are saying.
Somebody just tweeted, there once was a man on Nantucket who had weird noise coming from his stomach. The sound wasn't gas that came from his ass, but it still sounds better than Wally.
There you go. All right, J.P. Finley from NBC Sports is going to join us talking about the Redskins and the imminent changing of their name. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. J.P. Finley writes for NBC Sports Washington, where the Redskins, it seems, are going to be changing their name. Mr. Finley joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it. Okay. So, Dan Snyder, it seems like garbage. But what has finally made him start reconsidering this? Is it because of corporations trying to pull out?
Man, you guys don't mince words in Boston. And certainly the corporations threatening to pull out is a huge part of this. When FedEx, who's the title sponsor to the Redskins home stadium, FedEx Field, FedEx has about 5 years left on their $200 million deal with the Redskins organization. When they formally requested the name be changed, like they did last week, that statement came out from FedEx Thursday evening around 6 o'clock. By Friday morning at 11 a.m., the Redskins put out a statement that they were going to conduct a thorough review of the team's name. And basically, for 50 years, and certainly all of Dan Snyder's ownership, any discussion about the name was met with immediate dismissal, that we're never changing it, there's nothing wrong here, there's nothing to see here. And so for the team to even say they're going to do a thorough review is just such a huge step. What my reporting has shown that after the murder of George Floyd, and the protests that erupted across the country that the organization had started this, and the wheels were really moving. And I had a source tell me that they started talking about this in very serious detail in early June, so about a month ago. And so I think the public, corporate, I don't even know that they got to the level of threats that they were going to be canceled contracts or anything, but I do think that was the step that really turned up the speed to all of this. I mean, this thing feels imminent. I've had sources tell me that the Redskins will never play another NFL game.
Wow.
This team will have a different name.
When I saw the story on Friday night, or actually Thursday rather, it was shocking just because of how adamant that Dan Snyder has been. I mean, what was it, like in 2013, he said to, I think, the USA Today, put it in capital letters, I'll never change this. And first of all, why was he so stuck on that? Because my opinion's been, even if you take away the racial part of it, just the sheer amount of money that you could make with new merchandising, you would have the goodwill. Like, there were so many reasons to do it away from just the racial part and is it right and the moral part of it. Like, why was he so stuck to that name despite all these voices from the outside telling him to do otherwise?
So, I mean, he grew up, he is a huge fan of this team, and that drives a lot of his decision-making, and it's hard because of how bad they've been for 25 years, but the hold that this team has on this city is, it's hard to explain. And obviously, in Boston, between the Sox and the Pats and whatever else, it's just a different scenario, but the Redskins here... The Nats just won the World Series. The Caps won the Cup a couple of years ago. The Redskins are by far the most important team, and it's not even close.
Wow.
I mean, the gap is 3-4 times as much attention on the Redskins. And that team name, for so many, is a tremendous source of pride, and I think Snyder felt it was his duty to uphold that. And listen, to me, I understand why it needs to change. It's going to change. This thing's going to be done before the leaves fall off the trees.
So how's he taking it? How's he taking this, though? Like, I mean, because obviously this is something, it doesn't seem like he's doing on his own. He's doing it because of pressure. And once FedEx Field steps in, have you heard on how he's been taking this?
I don't know that it's been great. I haven't talked to Dan. Let me be clear about that. But, If I had to guess, he doesn't strike me as the type of person that likes being backed into a corner.
Yeah.
And he has he's been spending time in Europe. He has quite a yacht. You should Google it, look at the pictures. And he, I believe he's off the coast of Italy. And that, you know, that's one way to handle it, I guess. I think. But you said something that's interesting that I think, from people I've talked to, is a bit of a misconception. Okay. That they stand to make so much more money by selling new gear. And that's sort of, I think if they have a new logo and there are tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of diehard fans that would buy whatever the new logo is, and that could be an influx of cash. But all of that money gets shared around the league. Like, that's revenue sharing materials, would be any sort of official apparel. They stand to lose the amount. When you walk around Redskins Park, their practice facility, they have that logo, the old Native American man, carved into everything. All the amount of inventory of stuff they have with the Redskins logo on it that they'll have to get rid of, all of their marketing, branding, I mean, all of these things will take, you know, it's going to cost them millions of dollars to do. And I think that was part of Dan's reluctance. The organization is incredibly valuable, but when you look at some of the other owners around the league, the money they have from other ventures is astronomical compared to Dan's net worth.
Well, let me ask you, then on the other side of things, have there been companies that have been shying away from partnering with the Redskins because of their name?
It's my understanding that some of the sponsorship deals they had in place, a big part of some of these sponsorships is social media and tagging your sponsors, or for instance, it would be the Citibank halftime review or whatever it is. And
sure.
In the time since George Floyd's murder, nobody wants to be on social media with the Redskins, because if you check out what the Redskins have been getting on social media, it's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
And I think when those cracks in the foundation, because why do these companies want to be there in the first place? Because you've got an incredibly loyal fan base, and on Twitter, you got over 1 million followers, whatever it is. It's a good way to get your brand to those potential clients. But when all of the people on social are responding, your name is racist, how can you support BLM? It's not doing the sponsor any good.
So
what's it like to cover Dan Snyder?
Yeah.
We've interacted a handful of times. I certainly know who he is. He knows who I am. We've had some pleasant conversations, and we've had some times where I don't think he was particularly interested in my existence.
Because has he called you when he's written something that he didn't like?
No, I've never gotten that call. I've gotten plenty of calls from PR, which is probably coming from somewhere. But you got to remember, too, that Bruce Allen, who just got fired in January, was kind of the lead henchman for a long time. So yeah. I've had plenty of interactions with Bruce. But I don't know that this has made news for you guys up there, because it's a little in the weeds, but the bigger story, I think, right now, obviously the name change is massive, and I think I was told repeatedly that it's a done deal.
Yeah.
But now, I think Florio reported that so Snyder owns 60% of the team. He has three partners that own combined another 40%. One is the CEO of FedEx, which makes FedEx asking for a name change publicly really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Then you have one is a home builder. He's the CEO of one of the largest home builders in the country, and another is like a private equity guy. The three of them are trying to sell their portion of the team, and the story is that they can't find a buyer.
Wow.
I don't know what that means. I mean, at some point,
it means they don't want to deal with Dan Snyder.
Maybe you could buy some more media outlets so they don't make fun of him.
I was just going to say.
But that's the thing is that, I mean, if you look at, we were talking this morning, if you listed the worst owners in American sports, I mean, there's really kind of a clash of the titans between James Dolan and Dan Snyder. And so I wonder if these people, now I guarantee you, if they were selling the team outright, there would be plenty of bidders. But to have to share it with Dan Snyder, don't you think that that's scaring some buyers away?
Absolutely. Not to mention, you're selling a pro sports team in the middle of COVID when nobody knows what your revenues are going to look like for at least for 2020, not to mention going forward. And I just wonder, for that to become that public, that quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wonder what else is in play. And
forcing him out? Is there a way you can force him out? I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I mean, it's like what's going on here? Like, is there an underlying thing that's happening behind the scenes that you're suspecting in all this?
I don't want to say that I'm suspecting, because I just don't know. But it seems so weird. Listen, FedEx Field where the Redskins play is an awful dump of a stadium. I've been to every NFL stadium. Have you guys been down there? It's probably the worst stadium in the NFL.
Just on TV, you can tell that it's like, I mean, it's basically the Tampa Bay Rays stadium of football.
They want to rebuild it where RFK used to be, right? They want to rebuild it?
Yes. And so that's where, and to Snyder's, I don't know, credit. He didn't build FedEx. Jack Kent Cook built that. He bought it. It's a dump. Whatever. But D.C. government has been very clear that you're not getting RFK until you change the name.
Wow.
So now you're going to change the name. So now the name change is on the table. Can that get them back into RFK? And if they can get back into RFK, do you know how much money they're going to make? Well, how much money they're going to make? They get a Super Bowl. That stadium would host World Cups and
that makes it
concerts.
So stupid once again that he hasn't changed the name up to this point. You had that waiting for you. Like, you could have gotten a new stadium. All you had to do was change your stupid name. Once again, just I've said this, just take away the race and the moral part of out of it. Money, 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 money. And if he can't see that, boy, he's the worst owner. Boy, does he stink. It's astounding how bad a businessman he is.
I don't know how familiar you are with any of his other deal, like big deals over the last 20 years, but not many of them have gone well.
We just know that he buys up media that's critical of him. That's all we know about him.
He bought the radio station, and that didn't go well for him. He bought, I think he bought Dick Clark Productions. He bought Six Flags, and that took a bath. Johnny Rockets. You remember Johnny? I don't know if they had Johnny Rockets up there.
Good milkshakes.
Yeah, 50s nostalgia.
It's not a... And obviously, he's had tremendous success to be to the point where he could buy an NFL team, but there hasn't been a lot of success since. But my point is, if they are going to be able to get RFK, and I don't think it'll be that easy because, like all things in D.C., there's a bureaucratic struggle because it's federal land and the city wants to manage it and blah, blah, blah. But why do these dudes want to sell now? FedEx asked him to change the name. He's going to change the name. Now you want to sell your shares? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's strange.
Right. Well, it's good to know that he's losing money. All right, J.P. Finley, thank you so much. He writes there for NBC Sports Washington. Thank you so much for the time.
No problem, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He is the first of the Power Five commissioners to start to alert people that things are changing. What I mean by that is a couple weeks ago, there was this train of positivity. Oh, we're going to start. We're going to have full stadiums. Nobody believes that anymore. In communicating with people around college football last night and today, there is an extreme nervousness, not about getting to the end of the season, but getting to the beginning of it. And I think what's happening around the country is their biggest enemy. They didn't count on that. They had a million problems to deal with if the country was recovering and doing well, not hitting spike numbers all over the country, as we know. So right now, I think they're in a pause. They're watching these volunteer workouts, and they're slowly marching toward the beginning of real practice here in a couple of days, if not a week. And I expect the season to start late, if it starts at all.
Not 8-5 sports. That's cute. College football's playing. Too much money on the line, but I do like that John Wallach had to say yes, the birds are loud during this. Yeah,
I figured I'd get ahead of it.
Whenever there's birds in the backyard, birds on. Yeah, I was even going to make a Wallach joke, but I felt that had been ground that's already been covered. I didn't feel it was necessary to.
When you get two or three texts during the interview, I got texts from friends like, "Do you hear this?" Yes, I heard this. Thank you.
Yes, of course. I was distracted.
Were you expecting some sort of
social media backlash? Yes. About the birds? In fact, I was. Yes.
I just like your text, your tweet. Yes, the birds are loud.
Yeah.
The best is that our listeners just sent like these gifts of birds turning their heads slowly.
I started getting them like the second I got it.
How do you get a video of a bird turning its head slowly?
It's a GIF. Oh, I don't know.
GIFs of everything right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, I don't, just ask a 12-year-old. They'll tell you.
I didn't know birds often turn their heads.
Yeah, my kid can do that in a second. That's very true.
I'm just talking about the birds in general. Oh. They're always usually... perching or going nuts.
Yeah, well, John was quite distracted. I noticed he didn't say a word. I think it was just because his head kept tilting to the right.
He kept getting texts.
I kept getting texts from friends. Do you hear that bird in the background? Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you so much for alerting me to it.
It's Aunt Ethel.
Outside the tree. The in-laws are in town.
That's right.
There you go. All right, so who's that guy he's talking about there?
It's Paul Feinbaum. Yeah. That's Paul Feinbaum. And this was interesting because an article came out in the New York Post, and it just over the last 2 weeks – you know, the perspective of the college football season has changed. And you're right. I mean, you know, money rules everything. And many people have been saying that this thing's going to go on. And, you know, certain conferences are going to. The one thing that we did learn through all of this is that the football play is not determined by the NCAA. It's by individual conferences. So you could have a case where the SEC decides to play and some of the other conferences don't. But now you have some of the most ardent supporters, not supporters, the most optimistic people who are running these conferences who are now doing almost, not exactly 180s, but they're pulling back their expectations a decent amount. And most of that is coming from what happened during that first week and a half of players coming back to practice. That was on beginning June 1st, student athletes could come back, but then they started doing testing. And what we found since then is that you had the Jayhawks, they suspended workouts. They had 12 players testing positive. Texas Tech, oh my God, they had 23 players and staff that tested positive. I think Clemson might be the record with 37 players who tested positive.
Which I think they did on purpose.
Well, they might have, because you know that in Alabama, there apparently were a bunch of college students down there who were – now, the rumor is that they were doing it so they could get it now. They were all together congregating, trying to get the coronavirus. Now, there's a story that came out that's not what the team was doing, but apparently there were University of Alabama students who were having coronavirus parties, and they would all put money in a pot, and the first one to get the coronavirus would win it. That's a story that was reported this weekend. Sounds like a tall tale, but this is – once again,
no, actually, it's interesting you bring that up. Something similar at the University of Washington. And I don't know if you guys saw this. 120 kids on fraternity row all got the coronavirus at the same time for a similar reason.
So now you also have a situation where some of the schools that were full steam ahead for the fall are backtracking, and they're going towards remote learning. And there's even some schools where the staff, like I read something about Georgia Tech, you know, they're in the South, they're in Georgia, and they were like, hey, we're not going to make you wear masks. Well, apparently the faculty has all basically said, we're going to strike if you make it to where people aren't going to wear masks on campus. And now you've got that to deal with. So things have changed over the last couple of weeks. And Paul Feinbaum, obviously, who's plugged in with all these people, he was asked about how much of a chance do you think that there will be a season this year?
I think it's below 50% right now, Ryan. And that's realistic. It could change. I don't see it going up. I think the spikes around the country are scaring administrators. And when I say administrators, athletic directors, and especially presidents, that story out of Southern Cal yesterday reverberated in terms of on-campus in-class studies. Watch next week. The Ivy League, not exactly a threat to the college football powers of the world, but when they meet and if they decide to table the fall, which most people believe they will, and maybe try it in spring, it is going to reverberate around college football. And I think then you're going to hear a lot more about, can we make this work in spring? That's a whole nother debate. It's unlikely that you could pull it off with the big stars, but college football is in peril right now.
You know what's weird, Fred, is that I thought that we had a little bit of a window to where you could make the NBA and hockey and all these things and baseball and even like the beginning of football where you could make it work. And it's weird because they're really, you know, they everyone talked about the second wave that was going to come in November. And I thought we'd have almost like a little bit of a bed, even if it got worse. But it ends up there wasn't even the first wave never really ended. It just kind of stayed and it's been going up. So it's changing the way all these people are thinking. Now,
Fred, the best news they could have possibly given us about hockey was that they're getting the hell out of Vegas and everything's moving to Canada. Because I agree with you. I agree that that might end up being the only sport that we can really feel confident about continuing. Because right now, if you look at Canada's numbers, they have been controlled. Like, they're doing everything right. They're going down. And think about this. Think about the SEC playing football. Think about, and that's the one that you would think would be the most gung-ho just because of how they're run and they're in the South. But I mean, just look at what's going on in the Southeast, and you wonder if they're going to be able to do what they've been wanting to do. And you hope it's going to be able to figure it. They're going to be able to figure this out. Well, the SEC might.
There's no question. I mean, there's the government is going to be in cahoots with the schools. The schools need the money too much, and then especially in the South where there's lax feelings about college football, they're going to play.
Well, this is funny, too, because Paul Feinbaum said if there was college football in the spring, it's going to look a lot different.
First of all, the compressed season, if basketball starts, you have everything converging at the same time. You're not going to have the biggest stars. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they're exiting. It would be tantamount to the XFL. It's a spring league. We may have a vaccine. There may be people in the stadiums, but the quality of football is not going to be that great.
The XFL of college football, Fred, if they end up having it in the spring. Yeah.
I mean,
you're right, because all the big-name players, they're looking out for themselves to play in the NFL.
Right. If you're coming out after the season, you are definitely not you're definitely not going to play in a spring season, but they're going to play in the fall.
So the commissioner of the Pac-12, though, came out and said that he's seriously considering postponing the season, and that's the Pac-12.
Yeah, but the Pac-12 is you know, they have schools located in California, which has been coming down very heavily on this. I'll be absolutely shocked if the ACC and SEC don't play. I'd be shocked if the Big Ten doesn't play. There's just far too much money on the line. I would be extremely shocked if they didn't play. So, I mean, I know Feinbaum, maybe Feinbaum's doing a little bit of legwork. Maybe he's trying to figure out what the people will think. But nonetheless, I can't imagine being in any kind of politician. I know it's not up to them. I can't imagine being the president of any SEC school and telling people that they're not going to play.
Think about how much the football team generates money-wise for the overall budget of each school, especially in the South, per year. You're telling me you're going to lose, what do you think, Fred, 50, 60, 70% of your budget for the year?
Yep.
By not playing these schools? Not a chance. And it's to the detriment of the college kids who are pawns in all of this. I think there's some real fear there that you're going to contract this thing. And, you know, you never know. The percentages are overwhelmingly against it. But suppose you roll that magic number and one kid dies because of this.
Okay, well, you know, but say I'm Clemson and I could go, 31 kids had it. That's 31 kids who aren't going to get it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I could easily do that. So anytime numbers spike or something like that, I always think, well, they're more likely now. Because if 31 kids in Clemson have it, then they're not going to get it again. And I have no doubt that they got together and said, let's just get it and get it over with right now.
And also, if you lose star players, it's not like these major programs are going to take a step back, because the three backups to Trevor Lawrence are all five-star athletes. I mean, they're all really good players. I think we talked about this before. I mean, the programs that get hurt are the programs that are mid-majors that try and play and lose their starting quarterback.
And it's nice to know that if the Ivy League doesn't play, that's going to be a blip on anyone's radar. They're going to go, okay, it doesn't matter to me. Don't play. Like, you know, the Ivy League schools aren't dependent on their football programs to make money. It's just, I can't see it happening. Can you imagine being a politician in Alabama and saying that they shouldn't play?
Oh, God.
Like, coming out publicly and saying they shouldn't play.
Get voted out of office at the earliest possible convenience.
Yeah, they might just physically remove you from office. I mean, they're not going to...
Yeah. I wonder if there would be a situation where some schools in the SEC would say nope, and other teams could.
Nope.
I would... bet that doesn't happen.
No, there's SEC school.
Of all the leagues, or of all the conferences, rather, that's the one that I would think just come hell or high water. I don't care if they, like, if they said five players on your team will die, do you want a season? They'd be like, yeah, okay, sure, sure. Cool.
I'm saying,
the SEC, out of all of them, doesn't give an F about anything or any players or any help. It's all about the big dollar.
The ACC is going to play. I mean, Michigan State says they're going to have kids on campus and that they're going to let 30,000 people into games. It's just, it's going to happen. I mean, these schools need it. And, I mean, it's going to happen. And they're going to say the chance of someone dying that's a football player is not very likely. And if it happens, it happens. I mean, you know, people die playing football. And that's what they'll say. And or they won't say it like that, but that's what they're thinking. So there is no way. I'd be very, very, very surprised if that was the case. All right, we're talking a little baseball. We're talking a little bit about the crack of the bat and the slap of the glove. We'll be doing that in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.